Hi, this is Mo Oster, MISNI's Senior Vice President for Advocacy. I lead a team of lobbyists fighting for you in Albany and sometimes in Washington, D.C. This week, several of your MISNI and County Medical Society physician leaders and County Medical Society executive directors joined MISNI lobbying staff in meetings with key members of New York's congressional delegation. The meetings were held at the same time that many other state medical societies across the country held meetings with their own congressional delegation as part of the coordinated effort under the umbrella of the American Medical Association's National Advocacy Conference held virtually earlier this week. Zoom meetings were held with top health policy staff to U.S. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, as well as other delegation members serving on key healthcare policymaking committees, like the U.S. House Energy and Commerce and Ways and Means Committees, or in the party's leadership hierarchy. This includes Representative Paul Tonko from the Albany area, Brian Higgins from Buffalo, Yvette Clark from Brooklyn, Joe Morelli from Rochester, and Elise Stefanik from the North Country. The primary, though not exclusive, focus of the meetings was on preventing another Medicare payment cut cliff. As you recall, in December, Congress had to pass legislation to prevent what would have been a 10% Medicare payment cut to physicians that would have gone into effect on January 1st. This could have been a disaster for physicians and for the many patients who rely upon these physicians for their care. Thankfully, many of New York's congressional delegation members stepped up to the plate to urge the leadership to take needed action, particularly as so many practices continue to recover from the huge drop in patient visits during the heart of the pandemic. The 10% cut was driven by a number of expiring policies that we will quickly face again, including a 1% cut effective April 1st and 2% cut effective July 1st relating to a policy called sequestration, which is essentially a budgetary mechanism providing for across-the-board cuts on a wide range of federal programs to offset spending in other areas. Because of the impact of the pandemic, Congress has suspended these sequestration cuts multiple times over the last few years, but the latest extension ends on March 31st. There are also other temporary Medicare one-time adjustments that will expire at the end of 2022, which could again produce significant cuts in 2023 unless Congress intervenes. Therefore, one of the main goals of the physician meetings this week was to urge Congress to not wait until the last second to prevent these cuts, and to create a new payment structure for Medicare that will prevent the annual dance we seem to now have, again, that feels like the bad old days when Congress had to pass bills every year and sometimes multiple times in a year to prevent Medicare cuts based upon that old sustainable growth rate, or SGR, formula that was supposed to go away when the MACRA law was passed in 2015. In addition to Medicare payment, another focus of the congressional meetings this week was on urging members of Congress to pass legislation, H.R. 3173, that would enact a number of targeted reforms to address prior authorization hassles in providing care to their patients insured in Medicare Advantage plans, which are not regulated by state governments and therefore are not subject to traditional state law protections that do provide some limits and standards for prior authorization. Unlike traditional Medicare, Medicare Advantage plans often have restrictions on their networks and require approval for certain procedures. The legislation before Congress, H.R. 3173, would require health insurers to be more transparent about how often these pre-authorizations are approved and denied, as well as providing a mechanism for a real-time approval so that these administrative processes become relatively seamless in the delivery of care, rather than the extraordinary time burden they often become. As if further prove the point about why these reforms are needed, the AMA released a survey last week which showed that more than 93% of physicians reported care delays while waiting for health insurers to authorize necessary care, and 82% of physicians said patients abandoned treatment due to authorization struggles with health insurers. Moreover, and perhaps this was the most striking stat, more than a third of the physicians reported that prior authorization led to a serious adverse event for a patient in their care. Not only is MISNI working with the AMA on federal legislation, it is also seeking further state laws to limit what seems to be growing prior authorization hassles. Last week, New York State Senate Insurance Committee Chair Neil Breslin introduced a bill that would require health insurers to exempt physicians from prior authorization requirements if they have received 90% approvals for the pre-authorizations for that particular treatment within the last 6 months. Furthermore, based upon a recommendation in the New York State Department of Financial Services Administrative Simplification Workgroup report, health insurers should be reviewing those services subject to prior authorization and repeat prior authorization requirements to determine which ones should no longer have those requirements because they are overwhelmingly approved. Please continue to let MISNI know of your examples of excessive health insurer prior authorization requirements so that we can bring these examples to DFS and add them to our narrative as we advocate to the legislature for needed prior authorization reform. Turning to upcoming educational events, please place on your calendar Wednesday, March 16th at 7:30 a.m. for MISNI's Next Medical Matters program, Antivirals, Antibodies, and Testing, with your faculty, Dr. William Valenti. Thank you again for taking the time to listen to this podcast and for your dedication to MISNI and your County Medical Society. We will speak again next week.